Praise the Lord. God has the final say. And you must let him have that say. Amen. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing what we miss when we don't yield to God. Amen. On Thursday, my mind was not settled. I literally was not stable in the spirit. And I was not just... I was actually trying to pray. I was praying. And I got to the venue where I had an event. And I walked around that venue and I kept praying. But I didn't have a breakthrough. And what happened, happened. What you have to do and be very vigilant in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Things don't happen for the sake of them happening. We have, like Mr. Sajeri was saying, we have that capacity to change things. We only need to be more sensitive. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when we were doing Bible study, Seth Man was talking about the fact that the books of Exodus, Leviticus, which other one? Deuteronomy, they form foundations of a lot of things that we hold on to. And in the course of doing some studies, I also discovered that many of the things, if you look at Leviticus 11, many of those animals that God said do not eat, science reports that they are toxic. I think Dr. Matt or something, his experiment for the fish, for the animals, those ones he said do not eat, they are toxic. And animals and even human beings are what they eat. Hallelujah. So if you see me with one pack, it's because I'm eating and I'm not exercising, right? Or I'm eating a lot of things and gathering a lot of fat. So what you eat matters a lot. And the Bible teaches us a lot about lifestyle. Hallelujah. I know people criticize us and they can continue. It will be like the day of Noah. They can continue. They criticize and say everything. You always go to pray. You always go to church. But the principles that we use in life come out of the Bible. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking about let your words be filled with grace. The words of your mouth, let them be filled with grace. These are difficult times. These are dangerous times, even in this country. And what will spark anything will be the words of people more often than not. Amen. So if I say something that is not filled with grace, it will infuriate the next person and then it spreads like wildfire. Hallelujah. That's even in the society where we live. But the Bible is very, very clear about our responsibilities, especially with the words that we speak to the unbeliever and even to the believers. Amen. You know, fortunately, many unbelievers, they only know two kinds of Christians. Those that speak the truth without grace and those that are very nice but never share the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you can be very nice and say a lot of things. You will say what people want to hear and you are not saying the truth. And now you may know the truth and you don't know how to deliver the truth. And you just say it carelessly. You not say, like my people say, oh, so Roman David is a kuso. But when you speak carelessly, even though it's the truth, the intention or the expected result, you will not get it. So I speak the truth. I'm supposed to say the truth or speak the truth so that he may correct another person or guide you on the right path on which you go. But if I don't say it with grace, hallelujah, it will miss the target. In Ephesians chapter 4, I read from verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Underline the word benefit. It says that but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me pause there. So when I speak, okay, it says that it should be helpful for building other people up according to their needs. So it means that when I listen or I interact with people, okay, I will spot a need. If I spot a need that I think it needs to be met, the words from my mouth should be able to help that person meet that need. Hallelujah. So if you think somebody is not living a good life, a life that will edify God, okay, or glorify God, and you want to correct that person, you need to correct it in such a way that you meet that need of not being able to glorify God. Because if you condemn the person, then you are going to send the person away. He's not going to understand that correction. Okay, so it's very simple. We know we have correctional centers in this country, and there are correctional centers outside this country. People will prefer to go to the ones outside this country than to go to the ones in this country. I hope you know what correctional centers are. So let me just leave it like that so that you won't come for me after. So, I think there was a guy that stole my vehicle one time. Well, he borrowed it, let me just say stole, because he returned it. So he looked at the two of us and then he went to Setman's house when he wanted to return it. He says, this one is easier to deal with than me. Hallelujah. Well, you know, when he returned the vehicle, we looked at it and it was just a conclusion within me. If we take him to the authorities, he's going to end up at the correctional center and he's not ever going to come out a better person. That's just the simple truth. So what's the gain if you take him to a correctional center and he does not come out a better person? It's the same thing with your words. I just use that as an example so you understand what I'm trying to say. So if you see a need and you are going to use your words to correct that need, let it be that that person actually gains and that need is met. Amen. So if you think someone is lying to you, actually I don't tell people that they are lying to me. I just smile when they lie because I know. I just smile when they lie. And so we keep running with the lie until the lie reaches a point and then we smile and say, you know, I knew all along that you're lying. I just need you to run with it and you should understand that these things are not done this way. I'm not a saint. I was not born a saint. So, and I understand these things. But people, you need to let people understand things. And until people see the things the way they ought to see it, it will not register in their mind or in their spirit. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, whatever is helpful for building others up according to their need, that's what should be coming out of your mouth. Amen. If someone steals, for instance, and then we all start beating that person, what's the correction in that? Or he steals and we sit and say, you're a thief. You cannot be better than a thief. This is what you are because you're a thief. You know, those kind of things that we say. I know sometimes we do react in anger. But we have to be very careful. We are not like them in the world. And that's why Paul was writing here. And then I continue. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Hallelujah. So it starts with it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And then it ends with, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. For me, it tells me one thing, that when we are speaking, oftentimes we speak out of unforgiveness and out of lack of compassion. Amen. And so when we say those rough words, let me use that in quote, those rough words, those rough talk all over the place, just because you want to correct somebody, you need to look at it and say, am I talking from a point of forgiveness or am I talking from a point of unforgiveness? Hallelujah. So when you speak to someone and you correct someone and that person does not return to you ever again, there is a problem. Amen. You may say, some people are just stubborn. Hallelujah. People come to where they will get comfort. Even you as a person, you will go to a place where you will get comfort. And that's the kind of Christian that you should go to. The person that will tell you the truth with grace. That's why I said the unbelievers see two kinds of Christians. One, the ones that share the truth without grace, and the ones that just share words without telling you the truth. But you should be the one that people will look for and say, when I get to him, he will tell me the truth, hallelujah, and then he will do it in such a manner that I will feel that I am not a condemned person. Now, it's not that people should come to you and say, I always get away with something. It's not likely you get away with everything. But you should be able to hear things that will bring you back on track. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, in the light of unbelievers, this is what Paul says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. That's Paul writing. He said, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And he's talking about you dealing with outsiders. So, I mean, if an outsider comes, an unbeliever, that's what an outsider means in that context. And he comes, and I begin to speak to him about speaking in tongues, I'm going to lose that person. Because he doesn't even understand anything that I'm saying. He's just going to say, what's all this gibberish that he's saying? I'm going to lose him. But if Mr. Sajeri comes, and I speak to him, and then he comes and he says, this is happening, and I say, Mr. Sajeri, you need to build up yourself the most holy faith, speaking in other tongues. He's going to be able to relate with that. Everybody that comes to you, there's a language or there's a particular kind of language you ought to speak with that person. That will bring to that person to that, that will either bring you to the level of that person or bring that person to the level that you want you to be so that you can have a conversation. He says, let your words be seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. Salt gives flavor. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, I have a lot of culinary skills. Amen. You know what culinary skills are? Okay, so I did a lot of cooking. I learned from my mother. At the age of 5, I was in the kitchen. And don't say, 5, if you'll be short. We were not using cooker. We were not using gas cooker. We were using stove. So the stove was on the floor. I would sit on the stool. This studio I enjoy. I will sit on the stool. And then you put those tiny aluminum bowls that you want to cook okra. And you put it. And then I always sit there and learn. And then by the age of 7, I had a stool. I would use a stool to go to the gas cooker. And then I can fry. And that's how we started learning. And then when it got to a time, my mom would say, carry the raw meat in the freezer. Make sure you season it before I come. When I come, I'll put it on the fire. Hallelujah. It's the worst season, I'm telling you not. So when you bring it out of the freezer, you don't put, I don't know if you see, you don't put raw meat from the freezer inside water to thaw. You bring it out of the freezer and put it on the kitchen sink to thaw. Because when you put it on inside water, you are adding more water to it, and it'll be a problem when you are going to cook it. Hallelujah. In case your wife is, you tell her. Hallelujah. Sometimes people just argue blindly. I say, no, these things, I've done it since I was a boy. You have to put it here to thaw. You can't put it in water. It's osmosis, Abby. It will happen. So you say, you dare not forget. Because if you don't bring it out in good time, it won't thaw. And by the time it comes at 2, there's a problem. So we put it out. And then once we see that everything is beginning to fall apart, we use our hands to do that. Season it. And when you season it, you use all the seasonings. But you never forget salt. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, when at the initial stage, when I season, I don't put salt. Because sometimes, as a boy, as a small boy, I can't tell you that as a small boy, I got the gauge of salt right. So I don't usually put salt. When she comes, she puts salt. She adds it. That's seasoning. He says, let your words be seasoned with salt. Why? Because that's the one, with all the seasoning, without that salt, you will know that there's no salt in it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why it's good to teach your children. So when my sister was going to have an induction as a pharmacist all the way in Ilife, unfortunately, my mother was supposed to come to Lagos here for a visa interview to go visit my brother the same day. And we looked at her. I said, Ma, you have to go. We'll be here. She said, I have to cook. I said, I will cook. So I was the one that cooked, and we took to Ife and everybody ate. Amen. Because, yes, they allowed to eat. There's no Allah. Hallelujah. And so each time I look at myself, I said, today, you owe me a lot. Because if I didn't cook, it wasn't that she couldn't cook, but she was a celebrant. But seasoning with salt is very important. When somebody talked to me before, and I started crying. And since that day, that person, there's nothing that person can tell me. There's nothing. The person spoke to me, and I cried. And since that day, there's nothing that person can tell me that I can listen to. I'm wrong, oh. But I just made up my mind, there's nothing. Because that word was not seasoned with salt. No matter if you felt it was right, that you have to talk to me in that manner is absolutely unscriptural. And you have to be that deliberate. You don't know what you will say to the next man that will make the next man miss it. Because tomorrow, if that person comes and he's saying something very critical, and I'm in this state that I'm blocking my hair, it will be a problem because you will not deliver the word. Today, you may say, that person did wrong and you are scolding him, hallelujah, without seasoning. Tomorrow, when you need to say something to that person for that person to hear, because of your first response or his first response to you, you have lost that person for life. We owe responsibility. Don't speak carelessly. Words once spoken can never be recalled. Amen. We can type documents on our phones, type messages on our phones, you can delete, you can recall it, you can do anything. But once you speak and that person hears, you cannot recall it. Hallelujah. And so Paul says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. To the believers, you need to see it from this perspective. For 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I read from verse 7. It says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So I am Christ, you are Christ. So both of you need to consider that. And then he goes further and says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction. Amen. So he says, if I'm boasting, that we have the words, which is meant for your edification, not for destruction. He says, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. Hallelujah. Amen. Very simple and very direct. The message or the ministry that you have been sent on, it is for people's edification and not their destruction. And if words are wrongly used, then that edification will not be met. It will be that you terrify them and then there's destruction. Hallelujah. Amen. So when I work in the office and my colleagues are a bit slow or they're not doing what I've asked them to do, I take it and I do it. And then they begin to look at me. And when I do it, I get angry with them. I say, Kai, these guys, you're not supposed to do this way. And it could be a heated argument. I do it, I solve it myself. But the next minute, we move on to another thing. And you will not know that it's the same set of people I just had an argument. Why? Because they are not doing it on time. Doesn't mean they don't know how to do it. It just means that they have another understanding of what time is. So sometimes when you tell somebody now, If I say, drop the microphone now, somebody will hold this microphone for the next 5 minutes. I say, I was going to drop it, but the word is drop it now. If you say, Mr. Sajid, please come, say, I'm coming. Now, it's okay for him to say, I'm coming, because I didn't put a time limit to when he should come. If I say, please, Mr. Sajid, come now, I need you to leave whatever he's doing and come. That's what it means. Our definition or our words have to be very specific when we are carrying out, when you are passing out instructions. And it has to be very deliberate. Hallelujah. But in being specific and being deliberate, it must be laced with grace. Amen. So if I'm correcting somebody and tell the person that he's a fool and he's stupid, there's no correction in that thing. Because you are deflating the person's ego, number one, and you are making the person build up a complex that he may never recover from. Yeah, yes, you may look at it and say, guy, this thing is very simple. When we were in school, if you look at the time it took you to understand that 2 plus 2 is 4, and what it took the person that comes first in your class to know that 2 plus 2 is 4, you understand when you speak to somebody and his processing is very slow or is slower than yours. Hallelujah. We don't all have the same processing capacity. And we don't all see things the same way. So if I need to bring you to see something the way you ought to see it based on scripture, I have to be at the same pedestal with you. Hallelujah. If I don't bring you into a comfort zone, I cannot get anything across to you. So when you think somebody is not doing well, is an unbeliever, please don't go there condemning. It will not be edifying anybody. It will not pass any message across. Hallelujah. Rather, they will shun you and say they have come again. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. It says in verse 4, the thorn that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful thorn crushes the spirit. Hallelujah. The thorn that brings healing is a tree of life. Hallelujah. The words we speak, we are able to speak by the help of which organ? Which organ helps you to speak? Huh? Is your question before is different? He's scared. Which organ helps you to speak? Yes. And which other one? Your mouth and your tongue. Hallelujah. So I just tell you that this tongue is not just bringing life because it's bringing life. It's the words that he weaves out, okay, that brings healing, and then it's a tree of life. Hallelujah. So if you use your tongues well to spin words, amen, it becomes a tree of life. And then the words they speak are the words of Christ. There's no way that life will not come. Hallelujah. If you look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Hallelujah. Pleasant words a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I've read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, that talks about the fact that even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down. The authority God has given to us is to build people up. Don't give anybody a piece of your heart. Don't give anybody a piece of your mind. Hallelujah. You know when people say, I'll give you a piece of your mind, they'll talk to you anyhow. Don't give anybody that kind of peace of mind. Hallelujah. You know when people get me angry, when they get me angry and I want to say something to them, I walk away. I won't say anything. I just walk away. And when I'm done, when I walk away, I distract myself and I can come back. And if I come back and you want to come back to that matter, I will tell you that leave it, because it's a foregone conclusion. And then some people don't believe that you can never leave anything like that. I said, I beg, leave it. We are done with this. Let's move on. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, it says, we have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 12, 19, it says, we have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. What have they been doing? Number one, they have been speaking. Hallelujah. So their speaking was meant for your strengthening. Amen. You know, everybody seems, all of us have this sense of authority or ownership, either over your children or over your siblings, the junior ones. And you think that you can say anything to them. It cannot be, and it should not be. Because when you speak, it should be for their strengthening. So when somebody doesn't, you know, everybody's action is a function of his understanding. So what I do is based on how I understand things. And now you say, some people understand and then they do. No, if they understand, they won't do. They won't do the reverse. So you say, some people know better and yet they do. What they do reflects that this is how much they understand. Hallelujah. But it says that you should get to that point to understand that your words, speaking, should strengthen other people. So that's also give you the audacity to keep doing things wrong and say, they will talk to me calmly. Hallelujah. When we speak the truth in grace, the truth comes with correction, and that correction comes without condemnation. That's what it means. Hallelujah. And when you are unable to tell someone the truth, you're a problem to that person. Because you will not be able to see things the way, you'll probably be the only one that's able to see that thing that person is doing wrong, and you're not going to be able to correct it. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 13, it says, king takes pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Hallelujah. The man that speaks the truth has great value. And you can see that in our country now, what we want now is somebody that will tell us the truth. Abi, the problem is for you to know who's saying the truth. That's why, that's the problem. For you to know who's saying the truth. But what we want is somebody that will tell us the truth. And when somebody is telling you the truth, you expect that the person will do the same thing that he's saying. Ephesians 4:15-16 says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Hallelujah. So speaking the truth, Ephesians 4. Verses 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. When you speak in truth, amen, you cause there to be growth for edifying of that body in love. Hallelujah. So you cannot therefore choose to be careless with the words you speak. You say, I spoke in anger. There's no excuse for that anymore. And you cannot speak recklessly without telling the truth. Hallelujah. And you cannot tell the truth if you don't know the truth. Amen. You can't tell the truth if you don't know the truth. You yourself have to be grounded in the truth for you to know the truth. You know, everything in the Bible is true, but not everything in it is truth. Hallelujah. So as we move in life, we have to grow. There's nothing that anybody, and there's no flight that is attained in one flight. Even the rocket, does not get to space just like that. Amen. Have you seen a rocket being launched before? As fast as it is, there's always a process. And always there are always heights you attain. Now, the speed at which you attain it may be different, but you do not attain one flight in one day. So even when the rocket, you send it to space, it doesn't get to space like that in a second. There's always, you will see it, that ascent, and then it moves. I'm saying that you have to learn to practice. If you are used to replying every word at every point in time, you need to process it. I mean, there's no hurry in replying anything. The only time when we want to reply is when we want to show that I can't go back home and go and look for the answer and come and give you your response. Like, I have the response now. It even makes you more, how do I put it? It's even more dignifying when people expect you to react and you don't. It's amazing. They will tell you, I'm not reacting. It's not because you don't want to react, but it's because you want to follow according to what the scriptures have said. Paul told he said to the believers that it is for edification and not for destruction. The words we speak, they are laden with power. He says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And so when we speak power recklessly, you know, sometimes that's what they say. But don't do it recklessly. Or don't do it in the negative. Words we speak, they go into the future. Words we speak, they happen now. Some into the future. And you cannot move yourself into the future. The only way you move yourself into the future is by the words you speak. Hallelujah. So if you speak words into your future, speak words into people's future, when you get to the future, which will become now, then you will see it. And your today was some time ago your future. And that's what I'm saying. Who you are today, some years back, was the future you are looking forward to. And then this today, some years later, will be yesterday. So the words you speak today will go into the future. When you get to the future, and that becomes now, it's those words that you have spoken now that you have sent forth to the future. So when you speak carelessly now and say there's nothing, look at the future and be sure that you did not speak, and then you see it in future. Amen. That's what happens when you talk to somebody carelessly. You will not see it now. You meet it in future. And the scripture is very clear about it. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Anything that comes out of you must either strengthen anyone or edify them. Let not your words destroy people. Let your words be seasoned with salt and with grace. May we rise on our feet. Let us talk to God this morning. Tell him that even as we go about our daily lives, the lifestyle that we want to live is a lifestyle that will defy him. A lifestyle that will bring God's desire and God's expectation to the people. All God wants is that every man be saved. And the words of our mouth thank him because we weave them in such a manner that he brings salvation to people. He edifies them, he builds them up, and he gives them hope rather than despair. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.